Hello again, it's Patrick Kelly with the KWCA podcast. Grab your chair and pack a lunch. On today's program, we have Hall of Fame inductee Bob Gonzalez. The longtime coach and wrestling enthusiast will be one of three Hall of Fame inductees at the 2021 KWCA Fritz Noer Fall Clinic, joining Rick Langerott and Wayne Peterson. Coach, welcome to the program.
Hello.
16 years at Manhattan High School, followed 20 years at Shawnee Heights High School. Prior to Heights, you had a two-year stint at Henderson Junior High as head coach in Garden City, and then there was a six-year run as assistant coach at Topeka West High School. All told, 44 years of involvement in the coaching in the sport of wrestling. We will get into some of your highlights here as we go here, but what are your general thoughts and memories that come to the forefront as you reflect on your career?
Well, I think the highlight for me, you said 44 years, and you know, you come out of college, I went to Fort Hays State, and you come out of college and you're coaching your first coaching gig, and you're coaching football, wrestling, basketball, and track, and you're making big dollars. And the highlight for me is I'm the head coach, and this is a blast. And I think of my first dual meet, and we lost Kenneth Henderson Junior High. We lost to Ulysses Junior High 80-1. And we had actually scored two, but Hans Stolken, my 27-pounder, God, I remember that name like yesterday. Hans threw his headgear, so we got dinged a point. And they had won, of the 18 weights, they had won 17, and Hans had tied. And so we got two for the draw, and then he threw his headgear, and then we ended up getting beat 80-1. That's my first ever match and as a head coach. And so that's the highlight, because I just decided, okay, Mr. Know Everything, you didn't prepare these kids. We got overwhelmed, and we do not ever want to embarrass our kids again. So I tell all young people and old people too, sometimes you think you know it all, but always have your kids prepared.
Yeah, well, certainly couldn't go anywhere but up from there, huh?
That's absolutely correct, Coach. That's absolutely correct.
All right, so you had three state titles at Manhattan High, along with a pair of runner-up finishes and two other trophy teams. Give us the high points from your time at the helm of Manhattan program. What individual performances and team finishes do you cherish most?
Tyler just graduated in 2004-05 from Shawnee Heights High School, and he had had a nice run, and we had a good run of athletes. Well, Coach Woodford here at Manhattan was having some health issues. Lee wasn't that old, but he was having some health issues. And so I just said, well, I'm going to apply. Tyler's going away to college, and it'll just be Brenda and I empty nesters. So we came in 2005-06, and I hired a staff of all young guys that wrestled in college. And we had some talent, but I think the highlight in that 06 year was that we had to put my system in. We had to put Travis Baker, who was a Hoxie, a multi-time state champ and a Nebraska All-American. We had to put what he and I felt were important, and we call it a blanket ride, a crab ride, and so we put that in, and we established that. We established what we wanted. And that very first year, I think we won some matches and lost some. And I think we were maybe in the top six or seven. But we had set the tone, because we only had one or two seniors. But we set the tone for the very talented sophomore junior class. And the sophomore class was phenomenal. They had some Fargo All-Americans on that team. And so then in 07, we come out strong with Steve Andrus, a state champ as a sophomore, best of one state. Miller was a runner up. Bryant Petty was a runner. I mean, we put, I think, five or six in the finals. We won the 07, and we beat Goddard. And Goddard had a couple of the Fisher boys that wrestled in college. And so 07, 08, 09, 2010, I would like to think, and I tell everybody, we had talent, and we were having talent come through the system. And my job wasn't so much what I was doing on the mat with Travis and I and Coach Smith. It was what the weights. We had to be smart in weight loss, and we had to position kids in the right weights. And I think that was where I was good at, was we had to make sure when we had our challenges where kids are down to weight, they're watching their weight. And every Tuesday, it was a dogfight to make the team. And actually, our JV wasn't bad, but we were just, to be honest with you, Patrick, we were in such a great run of talent. And, you know, sometimes as coaches, we realize that, and we just have to sit back and let the kids wrestle.
So you also had a successful run at Shawnee Heights, where you coached one of the top individuals in the history of the sport of Kansas, and Tanner Gardner. You also were in the corner for your son, Tyler, as you mentioned, for his high school career. Yes. Talk about your time as the Thunderbird skipper.
Shawnee Heights was phenomenal. I had no intention of going there. I am content at Topeka West High School as the assistant coach, JV coach, freshman coach. And I loved coaching football there. And I just loved, back then, I actually wrestled with kids on the mat. I wasn't old and frail. And I had a blast. And we would have 60, 70 kids out. And we had our own JVers and our own ninth graders. And Rob Dennison, who came eventually out to Shawnee Heights and spent a number of years with me at Shawnee Heights, we just had a blast. And one day after about my sixth year at Topeka West, Dr. Susan Rogers, building administrator, whose son wrestled at Hayden Catholic for Coach Fredrickson over at Hayden Catholic, came to me and said, "Hey, the Shawnee Heights community needs a wrestling coach. And our friends, the Schellenbargers, they want a wrestling coach. And we've looked around the city, and you're a good young guy, and we'd like for you to go out there." And I go, are you trying to get rid of me at Topeka West as a teacher?" And she said, "No, they need a program." And so I said, "Well, you can tell them, I guess." And next day, Patrick, I get a phone call from Roger Tolkis, says, "Hey, we hear you'd like to be our head coach." And I go, "Okay. And why don't you come out this afternoon? We'll interview you." And so I went out to Shawnee Heights, and I interviewed with three or four administrators. And they basically told me if I wanted to be the head coach, and this was late June, if I wanted to be the head coach, the job was mine, or they were going to drop the program.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, wow. And I didn't want to see a program hurt. So I said, "Okay, I'll take it." And he goes, "Okay." 2 days later, Brenda and I go out there, we sign a contract, we move out to the Shawnee Heights community. And I didn't know how bad we were. We were in the Big Seven League, Effingham, Holton, all those, Hiawatha, all those folks, they hated Shawnee Heights because in a duel of 12 weights, Shawnee Heights would only bring four or five guys. And I hear stories from all those old coaches, Coach Spellman, all those guys, and they go, we hated your school. And so what we had to do is I had to make a contract with the head football coach. I would be a football lineman coach for him if he would be my assistant in wrestling. And then we just recruited kids that got cut from basketball. And Tanner Gardner got cut in basketball. And he weighed like 92 pounds, 94. But he was a tough, tenacious kid. And we taught him how to wrestle. And then he said, "Well, I want to get better." And I said, "Okay, there's a club called East Kansas." And we sent him with Kevin Klem. Kevin's now out at Stanford Community, and he helps out there in Palo Alto. And Kevin coached him in the summer. And, oh, my gosh, did this kid take off. I mean, and then the rule was, and you probably like this rule, Pat, if you wrestle summer freestyle, you have to take a teammate. If you have a teammate, a good friend, you got to take him with you. So Tanner took a kid named Phil Hart. And then the next year, Phil Hart took Blake Malloy. and then Blake Moy, Tyler Gonzalez, and it just escalated. So these kids are getting better. There weren't a lot of meets they went to, but these kids, Patrick, improved. And when we had one have success, and then you had two, and any camp they went to, they would always go to these camps. Kevin Clem had all these camps. And so I made them go to the camps, and then when they came back, we went out to the wrestling room, and they had to show me what they learned technique-wise, and they had to take notes at these camps. And so even though I was working summer driver's ed and I could not go to camps, I felt like on weekends I was learning what the kids were learning at these camps from great, great coaches that were running these summer programs. And I think that was the key to Shawnee Heights. And then we beat Emporia. And oh my gosh, we beat them in our gym. I have the newspaper clipping over here. We beat them. And then that next year, we wrestled Seaman at Seaman. And Dennis Switzke had beaten us for 15 years in a row, 14 years in a row, and we beat them. And then I knew we had arrived, because it wasn't so much what I was coaching, but it was a kid had mat time from being in the T-Bird Wrestling Club, being in the EKL over with Kevin Clem. And then Kit Harris came to Washburn Roll, and he opened up his mat room in the summer, because if I opened up my mat room, Mr. Holkus thought we were cheating. It was against violations. Made it a rule. You have to go out to Washburn Roll. You got to wrestle for Coach Harris. And that's how the success for Shawnee Heights really gained. And we got popular. And to answer that for you, it just, those are my highlights. We had great kids, but they got better and better and became great wrestlers because of the influx of the coaching they were receiving. And they just received quality coaching.
So you've also, in addition to your day-to-day coaching, have put significant time and effort into such organizations as ours, the KWCA, USA Wrestling Kansas, the National Wrestling Hall of Fame, and similar organizations. Tell me why that's important to you, and what you might be involved in the future with those organizations.
Well, that's a good question, and I see the fruits of that labor in this past weekend's top 25 Shawnee County wrestlers. And when I first got here, Melvin Douglas was a sophomore, and I was at Topeka West. He was a Highland Park. We were 501 people. And Melvin didn't really want to wrestle in the summer, but Coach Nitsch would take him and make him wrestle in the summer in faraway places like Iowa and Oklahoma, because there just weren't any in Kansas. And so I thought, well, okay, I'm leaving Topeka West and going to Shawnee Heights. In 1985, 86, why don't I put on a freestyle tournament? And Bob Carnes came over from Santa Fe Trail, and you could practice in the summer if it was freestyle, but if it was regular wrestling, Dick Brown of Acacia said, no, you're in violation. So we had Carnes and I and a guy named Gary Blosser, and we did freestyle. And we put on tournaments, and now if you look at all those names of those top 25 kids, all of those kids wrestled summer, or they did extra wrestling camps or clinics. The fruits of the labor of that, because we brought things to Topeka. We went and bid on USA Kansas Kids Federation. And then Mark Stanley in about 1998 took over, and it escalated. It escalated. And the last 20 years, in my mind, there is nobody like Mark Stanley out there at Junior Vikings. That man and how he has the energy is amazing. All those organizations, all four of those wrestling organizations that I have prominent roles in, have paid off. And I appreciate being inducted into the State Hall of Fame, and then I've been nominated for the National Hall of Fame this coming spring. But, you know, I didn't do it because I thought I was going to get a plaque. I did it because nobody else, I mean, I could have stayed in Western Kansas and followed somebody else's lead. But when I came here, I wanted us to be as equally. I mean, you've been to the Colby tournament. You know, sure. If you want to get some good matches, wrestle the kids in that Colby tournament.
It's paid off for you as an individual program that you've been to, but also for us as an entire state, you know, not just the northeast part of the state, but thanks from everybody.
First KWCA banquet I emceed in 1980. The coaches, we met at Salina Central, and we gave them their certificates. They weren't plaques. And we said, you're the coach of the year, you're the coach of the year, you're the coach of the year. And that next year, I went to Ken Coover, who was over at Topeka High, and I said, hey, this is ridiculous. These guys are coaches of the year. Can we have a little dinner banquet? Gary Ulmer, Coach Jones at Columbus, young coach up at Concordia, Doug Moore. We all got together and we said, yeah, we can charge $20 to be KWCA. Let's take the money. Let's buy these coaches some plaques. Let's have a meat and potatoes dinner. And then let's bring in a clinician. And in 81, 82, I saved those programs. It escalated. And now look at what you guys got. You got a four-day celebration. When my wife and I downloaded that package, and we see that you have weekend and you have all kinds of events. I got a sister coming from Austin, Texas, and she goes, we're going to do the afternoon tour. We're going to go out to Smoky Hill. And then my daughter's coming with her husband, and they're going to go to visit a little town called Lindsborg right over by Salina. So I'm just telling you, it is gone from an afternoon. We're going to pass you out a certificate. And now it's a four-day event, and it's tied into the Sunday USAW meeting, which technically it's like 4 days of nothing but wrestling convention.
That's right. It has come a long ways from those humble beginnings, for sure. Guys, it's been said before that if Kansas wrestling was a city, Bob Godzelis would be its mayor. I've also heard it say that you could sell ice to an Eskimo when describing how you can get kids to believe in themselves. What I want to do is kind of veer away from the X's and O's a little bit and talk a little bit about the other pieces that it's taken to build the programs that you've built. You know, during your college days, you spent time behind the mic and have continued to use those communication skills throughout your years. How have those skills and interpersonal skills manifested themselves in the success of your programs?
Well, I appreciate the comments. First off, I choose to be positive, and so I've taken those journalism skills, and I want every kid, I want every coach I'm around, I want to make them feel like they're the Newt Rockne of the sport. And when I'm behind the mic, I have more parents come up to me, and a seventh and eighth grade match, they will say, my son has never heard his name called. They want to wrestle on your mat. And it's all about making the kids feel good. When I coach with coaches, I tell kids all the time, you know, if you listen to what this coach says, if you believe in this kid, you're going to be successful. To me, I appreciate your comments, but you've got to have kids believe in you. You've got to challenge them, and they will do anything in the world.
So your son Tyler has taken a bit of a circuitous path to the post as head coach at Junction City High School. He spent time in the college ranks after an outstanding career at Fort Hays State University, and also spent time with USA Wrestling and with the U.S. Olympic Committee in Colorado Springs. Do you plan on being involved with Tyler beyond that of an interested parent? Are you going to, you know, give him advice or step over in the junction room at all, or are you just going to kind of stand back and watch things?
Well, I've retired from coaching, and I promised my wife, I just recently was asked if I would be an assistant at a four-year college here in town. There's you know, some needs at a couple of smaller NAIs, and I said no. And if Tyler wants some help running a tournament, I will help him. Right now, I am helping people like Mark Stanley that want help at certain events. I will bend over backwards for people like Mark Stanley. Friends University's new head coach needs help running a tournament. I want to promote the National Wrestling Hall of Fame and Museum, and I want to recognize people that have given 30 years of service.
From your roots in Garden City to your time at Fort Hays in college, you learned the value of hard work and commitment. You're one of those that have never shied away from the long hours and doing whatever it took to build a program and maintain the program. What is your advice to the younger generation of coaches who aspire to follow in your footsteps as a teacher and a coach?
I appreciate that. I'm going to send you a PowerPoint on my speech at Garden City when they brought me back. They didn't have to pay me, but they treated me like royalty. I went back and spoke there in 2018. I'll send you that PowerPoint. The title of it, Work is Not a Bad Word. And you and I, all of the people in our age group, we develop a four-letter word titled work from our parents. And my dad went to the eighth grade. My mom went to 11th grade. And so I did not want to be in that type of a situation. I wanted to get a high school education. I wanted to get a college degree. And so I worked on a farm 12 hours a day in the summer through high school. And I still made it to weightlifting for my coach, Coach Fain Henson, who's one of the iconic coaches in Kansas. And what I learned in Western Kansas growing up, working on a farm, is the value of the $1 bill and the work ethic. My parents, I watched them work hard. I took that same work ethic and brought that with me into education. And Brenda and I, she works. If you think I put a lot of hours in, you got to meet my wife's work schedule because she's a nurse and she's right now with COVID. She's about a 65-hour work week lady, she's fatigued. But we both are Western Kansas kids, and no offense, I mean, we're Midwest. I always say Western Kansas is like the cornfields of Nebraska, the cornfields of Iowa. The Oklahoma wheat fields, we're Midwest, and work is not a bad word.
So now that you're, you know, on the outside looking in, as far as coaching goes, what are a couple things that you think elevated the sport over the course of your career? And what do you think are a couple things that you hope will change going forward to make the sport even more relevant?
Well, I think the most amazing thing that's happened to us is that back when, like when your coach, Mr. De Leon, or Mr. Switzke, who wrestled at Kansas State for Fritz Knorr, or any of those Western Kansas guys that are legendary that you always read about, or Coach Miller down at Capen. Back then, the hotbed schools, the wrestling schools, Ark City, all of those schools had a guy that was a non-mat wrestler and successful. And so he, in those isolated spots, Garden City, we have better tradition because we had on-mat. My teammate was a national high school champion that took first up in Iowa City, Iowa, 1971. A teammate that didn't place wrestled Oklahoma State named John Leitner. And so those are guys that beat you up practice, and you learned how to get better, or you didn't go to practice. And so what has happened in Kansas in the 1990s is we have those college kids that went off, they came back. If we keep those kids, that's our next level. And then what is going to happen in the future? Well, we've already changed. If we can go to the out of bounds rule, our technique has improved so much. Technology has improved so much. You know, the only thing that goofs me up, being an old guy, is we change the Olympic scoring every dang 4 years, and I have to go back and I go, well, looks like we're winning. And, you know, I'm sitting there listening to John Smith on some of those tape delay things that I have. I'm going like, well, John Smith says that referee needs to swallow his whistle.
Yeah.
And, But I'm telling you, Patrick, we have some great things happening in our state, and I'm sure it's happening in other states.
We've been talking with 2021 KWCA Hall of Fame inductee Bob Gonzalez. Coach, congratulations, and thanks for taking the time to come on today.
Thank you, and thank you for all you have done. And I know in my heart, you have a genuine love for the sport of wrestling, and I could never thank you enough, Patrick.
I appreciate that. So this has been Patrick Kelly with the KWCA Podcast. It's not too early to get your registration in for the 2021 Fritz Knorr Fall Clinic, slated for the weekend of October 8th in Salina. Registration information can be found at kansaswrestling.org. Until next time, thanks for listening.